This is Michael Welch, producer and host of the Global Research NewsHour. The program will be on hiatus during the summer break. For the next several weeks, we will be making available previously aired material which aired during 2013-2014. On today's installment, we will re-air audio from the February 14th, 2014 show, which aired live on the campus community radio station at which the NewsHour is produced, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This was a special edition intended to raise funds for CKUW, which does not accept revenue from commercial advertisers and must therefore turn to listeners to directly support the station's operations. The fund drive for CKUW is over for this year, but Global Research, the website which partners with CKUW to produce this program, welcomes donations year-round. Listeners can donate online by visiting the site globalresearch.ca, clicking Donate on the menu bar, and then following the instructions. Regular listeners are also encouraged to donate to CKUW and other community radio stations that carry Global Research NewsHour. We'll list a few later in the hour. For now, we present four interviews with prominent and frequent Global Research NewsHour interview guests who help make the case for supporting independent media. They are Global Research Associate Editors Julie Levesque and Mahdi Nazemroya, Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, Toronto-based constitutional lawyer Rocco Galati, and Canadian foreign policy analyst and critic Eve Engler. And we're on the Global Research NewsHour, and it's a different sound today because this time we're looking at doing a live broadcast. Normally we do these broadcasts on, they're pre-recorded, but this time it is Friday, February 14th, and right now our radio station is in the middle of a special fundraising drive. So my name is Michael. And we are going to be talking to several guests over the course of the next hour who will help make the case for independent international news coverage. So stay tuned for more. I believe we may have some guests joining us momentarily or right now on the line. Who do we have on the line with us? Is that
Julie?
Great. Hi, Julie. Julie Levesque is the... associate editor at globalresearch.ca. So, Julie, it's great to have you and get us launching our special hour of raising funds for CKUW, which is the radio station that has made this Global Research News Hour possible. Julie, you're associated with the website globalresearch.ca. You're an independent journalist yourself. Do you want to say a little bit about your experiences with this website as opposed to say other media?
Well, I have to say that I studied in journalism, and it was clear for me from the beginning that I would not be able to work in the mainstream media. As soon as I finished my certificate in journalism, I came here at Global Research. I was already working here. I started as a volunteer. You know, I was translating articles. And to me, I mean, I started, like most people, being interested in the news by reading the mainstream media. And over the years, I drifted towards more independent media. And I realized that that's where the scoops are, you know, in the independent media. In the mainstream media, they will never publish articles which really threaten the establishment, you know, and there are many topics that will not be talked about in the mainstream media. You know, like, I think one of the best examples is 9/11. You know, there's so much that's been written in the independent media about 9/11, and very few articles have made their way through the mainstream media. So I think you know, the mainstream media is owned by most of all by corporations. If you look at, for example, in the U.S., there's like five or six major corporations who own the media. So that, of course, has an impact on the subjects that are dealt with. And it has an impact on our media here in Canada as well, because, you know, the U.S. media is the one that set the agenda for the rest of the Western media.
Okay.
I
noticed that, just joining our conversation, we have an associate of yours, a research associate, Madi Nazam Roya. Are you there, Madi?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Hoping for a few pledges to come in today, because we're really wanting to try to help our listeners understand that the community, we need community radio stations to thrive, independent, alternative coverage. And as Julie was just helping us understand, that much of the media is controlled by these corporate entities who often have another agenda. Madi, you yourself, you've been a correspondent in addition to a geopolitical analyst. I wonder if you might be able to bring up a story from your own experience in terms of things that you were trying to bring forward and the mainstream media just fell asleep. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Well, firstly, I'm sorry if I've cut off Julie.
Well, she's still with us, I think.
Oh, she's still with. Okay,
it's okay. I forgive you.
All right, great. Well, I can tell you from personal experiences that I know from places I've been, such as Libya, that the reality that the media is painting to the population overseas, away from those places, and the discourse that it's depicting is totally opposite to the reality on the ground. So I'll give you an example of Libya, where they've made it look like freedom fighters have come and they're fighting against a brutal, repressive dictator who is genocidal, who is about to kill his own people, who has imported mercenaries from other parts of Africa that are black-skinned and not indigenous. When this narrative that's being portrayed is the total opposite from what's happening on the ground. So the media is acting in coordination with foreign policy of certain state actors, including our own government, to basically justify wars of aggression, to justify the usurping of resources, to justify corporate exploitation. But it's not just about war, it's environmental issues, it's social justice. All these things are distorted by the media, because its main job is perception management. Mm-hmm. It's not relaying any objective information to listeners, readers, viewers, audiences, essentially, about reality. It's basically there to justify a set of agendas that are contrary to the facts on the ground and contrary to societal norms, the societal ethics, you know, to our morality and understanding of things, to justice. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's very important to have media that's independent, that's grassroots, that interacts with its audiences as well. And the corporate media has no shred, no elements of this whatsoever. It is trying to take on this like a chameleon. It is trying to disguise itself now with becoming more open, more democratic, more interactive, more grassroots, but that's not the case at all. It's just becoming more deceptive.
We need to have those alternative voices out there. The voices, like you say, that those voices from the communities that don't have that agenda of trying to make a profit from every little every little incident. When you're supported as CKUW, which is the platform for the Global Research News Hour, and we broadcast at different radio stations, as well as being podcast on the Global Research News site. We by going to our donors, people in the community, you know, they can tell us what their priorities are. We don't have to necessarily cater to entities that are always looking for a way of making a buck, like the war defense contractors and or the oil companies. So I want to really thank you both for adding to that. Is there anything else you'd like to contribute in terms of explaining to our listeners why they need to pledge right now at 204-774-6877 or to donate online, Fundrive, FUNDRIVE.CKUW.CA? Why should they go to the phones or the internet now and support us?
Well, it's important to have other lenses that aren't murky, you know, and the Global Research News Hour and the platform it's using in Winnipeg, University of Winnipeg, are very important for this, amongst other community radio networks. And that's why we need to keep these lenses. We need to work to keep these lenses functioning and alive, because the corporate media would love nothing more than to see alternative news like this being destroyed and eroded.
Okay. Mahdi Nazem-Royah, oh, yes, Julie. Julie?
Sorry. I just wanted to add something really interesting that happened recently in the mainstream media. Actually, the Washington Post has been bought by Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. And Amazon has a $600 million contract with the CIA. So those are the kind of links that the mainstream media has with the establishment. So obviously, I mean, you cannot rely on such media who have links with the establishment and the intelligence community to give you the real information that you need to know.
Okay, Mahdi Nazem-Royah, Julie Levesque, thank you very much for your support, for your ongoing research and your unfiltered analysis of these developing stories. And thank you also for being a frequent interview guest on the Global Research News Hour. It's very much appreciated by myself and by our listeners. You're listening to a repeat broadcast of interviews from the February 14th edition of the Global Research News Hour, which aired live on radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on the occasion of that station's 2014 fundraising drive. The program airs every Friday at 1 p.m. Central Time. The program is also podcast at globalresearch.ca. The show can be heard on the Progressive Radio Network at prn.fm. Listen in live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo, B.C. carries the program Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Boston College Radio WZBC 90.3 FM airs the Global Research News Hour during the Truth and Justice radio programming slot every Sunday at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. Burnaby radio station CJSF out of Simon Fraser University 90.1 FM broadcasts the show to most of Greater Vancouver from Langley to Point Grey and from the North Shore to the U.S. border. CJSF also makes the show available on 93.9 FM cable in the communities of SFU, Burnaby, New Westminster, Coquitlam, Port Moody, Surrey, and Delta. In British Columbia, Canada. Tune in every Saturday at 6 a.m. In Guelph, Ontario, tune in to the show Wednesdays at midnight on CFRU 93.3 FM. Please consider providing financial support to your community radio station to ensure they are able to continue carrying alternative news programs like the Global Research News Hour. Also consider donating to the Global Research website itself by visiting globalresearch.ca and clicking Donate on the menu bar. We'll hear from Rocco Galati and Eve Engler later in this broadcast, but first, one of the most popular topics covered on the Global Research News Hour is the controversy surrounding the September 11th attacks. Global Research was one of the very first websites to spotlight the flaws in the official narrative. One of the world's most prominent critics of the official story of 9/11 is Richard Gage, AIA, the head of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Here is what he had to say during our live broadcast on February 14th. And we're back on the Global Research News Hour, and this is the Fun Drive edition. This is one episode of Global Research News Hour that's being done live, and I have a live guest on the air with me. His name is Richard Gage, AIA, very well known and well respected, a leading figure in the 9/11 Truth movement. And I hope I've got you there, Richard. Can you hear me?
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Richard. Thank you once again for joining us. One of our most popular guests on the Global Research News Hour. Richard, I was just talking with Julie Levesque on the line as one of the editors at Global Research, and talking about how one of the important issues that we profile on the website is the 9/11 Truth Movement. And as I indicated, you're one of the leading figures. Now, I know that you were not always... for years after the 9/11 attacks, you believed the official story. So it's probably not accurate for, you know, some of the figures out there to call you a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist. How did you come about to change your thinking about that specific event?
That's true. I was actually quite entrenched in the Republican party at the time of my introduction to this this evidence, scientific forensic evidence that we had not seen on the mainstream media 8 years ago now. I was just shocked to learn all of this information, including the fact that a 47-story skyscraper, Building 7, at the World Trade Center also collapsed. And it collapsed at free fall acceleration straight down in 6.5 seconds into its own footprint. Now, we'd seen this before, and I'd seen it, so that just caught my attention. I'm going, well, wait, you mean they said this came down by normal office fires, which is the official account of or cause of this building's destruction? And yes, believe it or not, that came down in the exact manner of a classic controlled demolition, and yet that cause was never seriously investigated. And so that and a lot of other evidence from the Twin Towers as well caused me to step forward and challenge what I had previously believed. I mean, I was rooting for the Iraq War when Colin Powell was making our case for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That's how far I had turned around. No, I had never been a conspiracy theorist. So I found over the course of the last 8 years, over 100 volunteers and 2,100 architects and engineers who put their reputations on the line demanding a real investigation based on this evidence, which is quite nicely laid out in our latest DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. Mm-hmm. And that's available on our website, which is ae911truth.org.
Now, one of the things I think that I'm not alone in respecting the fact that when you make your case, you don't actually use the words 9/11 was an inside job. You present yourself as essentially a witness for the prosecution, an expert witness, because you have, you know, decades of experience designing these sorts of steel frame structures, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, so that the fact that you have that sort of adds to the sense of the credibility that you and your fellow architects and engineers bring to this subject, Richard. The World Trade Center 7 itself, it's a special building. I mean, it was a government building. That's kind of what makes it a critical to the overall narrative, right?
Well, it's a private building, but it had many government agencies in it, including the IRS, the CIA, the Department of Defense. I mean, it was a very secure building, so we're not talking about, you know, Al-Qaeda getting in here, setting explosives in this building. And the evidence really
seems unlikely.
Yeah. the evidence yields the use of thermite incendiary, even in the official report. The hot sulfur corrosion and molten iron found in the ends of these beams to have partially evaporated, a quote from the fire protection engineer, the ends of these beams. This doesn't happen in normal office fires. It doesn't even happen with jet fuel. Here we have pools of molten iron seen by the first responders and even the World Trade Center structural engineer himself, who describes a river of molten steel. So this phenomena is characteristic of the byproducts of thermite. And there are thermite incendiaries, which are actually patented devices which eject molten iron in milliseconds, cutting through structural steel even more effectively than high-energy explosives,
Richard,
like C4 and RDX.
Richard Gage, are you satisfied with the way the mainstream media has been covering this important story?
No, it is only courageous stations like your own, CKUW, which has stepped forward in the alternative press, and very few and far between, even in the alternative press. This story has been censored. Again, I did not know for 4 years about the third skyscraper. It has only been mentioned and shown on TV like two or three times in mainstream television, and yet it is the third worst structural failure in modern history and should be headline news everywhere. And so when people, architects, engineers, and others, find out about this third skyscraper, they're in shock that they didn't know something so mammoth in our building history here. The reason could be, as researched by Project Censored, a website and research center from Sonoma State University in California. They found that 90% of the mainstream media is owned by just six corporations. They also found that the people who sit on those boards of those corporations also seem to govern the companies in the banking industry, the oil industry, the arms industry. It's a fantastic interlocking grid of of control that needs to be exposed to the American people and people in Canada.
Speaking of, about exposing this message to the people of Canada, I understand that next month you're going to be pretty busy in our country.
Yes. The Canadian people are experiencing a revival of the controversy of 9/11 as the result of a bus ad which Canadians placed, particularly in Ottawa, but also Toronto and other cities, wherein the Transportation Board in Ottawa actually sought to examine their own policies and shut down free speech, because on these bus ads we have an ad called, Did You Know a Third Tower Fell on 9/11? Because the polls show in Canada and the United States that over half the people do believe that Building 7 was a controlled explosive demolition when they see it. And before they have the opportunity to see it, they're largely unaware of it. So the advertising campaign, which we actually raised $400,000 to put outdoor advertising worldwide, did quite well. And so the Canadian people are bringing me to speak to Canadians in 17 cities across Canada, from Victoria all the way to St. John's in Newfoundland. And we're asking Canadians to rethink 9/11.
And the name of the website, if people wanted to get that, to find out where you're going to be and when? It's Rethink 911 Canada? Or?
Yeah, rethink911.ca. That's rethink911.ca for the Canada tour schedule. We're going to be in Prince George, Vancouver, Victoria, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Toronto, London, St. Catharines, Ottawa, Montreal, Quebec City, Fredericton, St. John in Newfoundland, and Moncton, and Halifax.
Okay, Richard Gage, I think I have to let you go now, but I want to thank you. You've really made an excellent case for paying more attention to independent media like the Global Research News Hour and, of course, the station that supports it, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. And we look forward to seeing you when you're on your tour. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael, and I encourage all of your listeners to call in now and support a station that has the courage to air this controversial subject.
Okay, thanks again.
Good times for a change. Seems like I've had to make a good man turn. So please, let me get what I want this time. Thank you.
Yes, please, please, please let me get what I want from Dream Academy. We need to keep independent, national news afloat. And one fellow who really understands that is with me now, Rocco Galati. Are you there?
Yeah, hi, Michael.
Hi, thank you so much for calling in and supporting this. Rocco, you want to talk a little bit, maybe about some of the impressive, you're a constitutional lawyer.
Yes.
Based in Toronto.
Yeah.
You've represented a number of terrorism cases. You're representing a case right now, a few cases, natural health, Health Canada.
Bank of Canada case.
Bank of Canada case.
I was driven the federal court, and we just argued the Nadon reference on the appointment of Justice Nadon at the Supreme Court of Canada, that challenge that I initiated in federal court here in Toronto.
Now, could you talk about been interviewed by mainstream media, and you've been being interviewed by independent alternative media like the Global Research News Hour and CKUW. Do you notice any kind of a difference in terms of approach or in terms of emphasis?
Well, I've noticed a very alarming, depressing difference over the course of the last 15 years. The mainstream media, you can't even call it media anymore. It's basically a mouthpiece for the vested corporate and globalized interests and the government of the day, which is saying the same. It's a really, really stark, alarming situation in which it's only really the independent media that you can trust or rely on. With the mainstream media now, you really have to reread between the lines and actually take to task what their assertions are, because you can't trust them. And that's, in my view, why independent media is important, because if there's any hope for our democratic institutions, it'll be that the independent media becomes more and more mainstream.
It's February 14th today, 2014. Is there any news stories that you're privy to, say, over the last few weeks that you really are jumping up and down and saying, why isn't the media reporting on this, or why aren't they exploring it more? Anything that you really think needs to be addressed more than it is?
Well, there's a lot of things that need to be addressed. For instance, what's happening with our financial institutions, what's happening with our surveillance of Canadians. I know it's in the media, but they're not asking the hard questions on why the government's breaking the law, why they're not adhering to constitutional requirements and all of that. You know, it's just that they're too easy on the government. They don't ask hard questions. They don't reveal the reality of what's going on in terms of what I see as a quick slide to a fascist state.
Mm-hmm. Not even the CBC?
No, especially the CBC.
Mm-hmm. So you're not impressed by the blanket coverage? I mean, the CBC right now is all over the Sochi Olympics like flies on a turd, and yet...
Yeah, it's bread and circuses. For instance, nobody in the mainstream media, they refuse to cover my Bank of Canada challenge on behalf of my clients. It's a very serious challenge with respect to the financial institution at the central bank here. They've refused to cover the natural health product constitutional challenge in the federal court, the fact they're trying to phase these things out of existence on behalf of Big Pharma. So a lot of the cases that are really significant trade and corporate cases, the mainstream media is not covering.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, people who may have the sense that all you have to do if you want to know what's going on in the world, you just turn on your CBC or Global or whatever, and that'll give you more or less what's happening. But
what you're getting is a glamorized gossip column, is what you're getting.
Yeah, yeah, you're not getting
what's really happening with the real, for instance, native rights issues or disputes in this country. You're not getting any of that.
Mm-hmm. So what is the sticking point here? We've heard from previous guests talking about the corporate influences. Is that what we're looking at here?
Well, it's not influence. It's corporate
control,
ownership. Period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's they exert on the government. The government does their bidding. They're one and the same people, and so people have to start withdrawing their consent to be governed in this way. And one of the ways is to basically pull away from these mainstream institutions that are all in bed together.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is not new. It's happened historically, in a lot of sectors. People branch off and say, this is not working anymore. We have to have alternatives, and then hopefully the alternatives become more prevalent and more, quote, mainstream, if you will.
But media, Rocco, it costs money.
No, I know it costs money, and that's why you know, people who think this is important should contribute, and that's why I'm calling today, and that's why I this morning made a contribution of $2,000 to your radio station.
Whoa!
And I'm calling on every other employed professional like myself, doctors, lawyers, professors, who listen to your radio show, and I challenge them to match my contribution. And if they think that I'm a bit off and should have, and I've been too generous with my donation, then they should put their best foot forward and still make a serious contribution. If they're working and they have steady employment and they're professional like I am, then they should have no problem, matching my contribution. And if they do, but they should put their best foot forward. They shouldn't be, you know, contributing the $30 or $40 that your average person contributes, which is very worthwhile. My perspective is that if you're professional and gainfully employed, you should put your money where your mouth is, as it were, and advance the interests and the need for free speech and accurate and objective reporting and the discussion on issues that actually impact that the mainstream media is bearing at the behest of neoconservative and fascist governments for the bidding of corporate interests.
Rocco Galati, I am very, very appreciative of that, of your words and of your donation. $2,000. He's dropped the gauntlet that a constitutional lawyer based in Toronto, and thank you so much for taking the time to call us and to share.
I want to thank your radio station for doing the work it does. It's important.
Okay.
It's important. Thank you.
Rocco Galati, constitutional lawyer based in Toronto, working on a number of cases. Thank you once again. Back on CKUW 95.9 FM. The Global Research News Hour is the show, and the station, CKUW 95.9 FM, the host, Michael Welch, and I'm joined right now on the line by another very popular guest of the Global Research News Hour and of CKUW. His name is Eve Engler. Thank you for joining us, Eve.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Eve Engler, you've done a lot of amazing research. I'm specifically impressed with a lot of your reporting, your research on Canadian foreign policy. Of course, I think the very first book I'm aware of that you wrote was one called Canada and Haiti, in which you talked about some of the things that we're not hearing very much about in the news, in the mainstream media, about Canada's special relationship with Haiti. Do you want to have to, since it is February 2014, is there anything special about this month that maybe Canadians should be brought to speed about?
Well, it's, of course, the 10-year anniversary of Canada, the U.S., and France overthrowing Haiti's elected government on February 29th, 2004. So the Canada-Haiti Action Network and different activists across the country are trying to draw attention to this anniversary. And there's actually an apology letter that's being circulated out there for Canadians to apologize for what our government has done in Haiti, which is militarily intervening in Haiti to oust the Jean-Bertrand Aristide government, supporting a coup government that was in place for more than 2 years that was responsible for thousands of people being killed. There was Canadian security support. There was Canadian troops on the ground. There was financing of a Haitian police force that was going into the poor neighborhoods and massacring people and shooting on unarmed demonstrators calling for the return of democracy. And to a large extent, there continue right until today, Canadian support for UN occupation of Haiti, for a political system in Haiti that disenfranchises the vast majority of the population, and so this month is the 10-year anniversary, and it's I think a very important piece of Canadian foreign policy history that if people are not familiar with, they should look into it. It's one that's been largely ignored by the dominant media, and that's the importance of radio stations like CKUW and others that are willing to challenge Canadian foreign policy, power on these types of issues.
I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about the nature of Canadian foreign policy. This idea that we're international Boy Scouts on the world stage, and we're like the nice guys that next to the United States, which are doing all these terrible things in the world, and we're there to kind of correct them in a mild-mannered way. And one major volume of yours, the Black Book on Canadian Foreign Policy, you, with an extensively documented book that it was, what was there, 200 books that you cited in that? It lays out, like right from its beginnings, just how incorrect that image of that we as Canadians tend to have is. And the mainstream media definitely has a role. I mean, it's not just that they're ignoring these realities. They have a role in helping to continue fabricating these realities, wouldn't you say?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. The corporate media and including the CBC, their coverage of, take a case like Haiti, their coverage, take one concrete example of Canada's rule in Haiti. On January 31st and February 1st, 2003, the Canadian government organized a meeting in Ottawa where they brought together high-level officials of the French government, of the American Bush administration, and of the OAS, the Organization of American States. And at this meeting, as was reported in March of 2013 in a magazine called L'Actualité, which is Quebec's equivalent to Maclean's, they decided, this is a Canadian organized meeting in Ottawa, that no Haitian officials were invited to. At this meeting, they decided that Aristide must go, Haiti should be put under UN trusteeship, and the Haitian army should be recreated. 13 months later, Aristide was gone. Haiti has been under UN control since then, and the Haitian army, to a certain extent, has been recreated. This was reported on at the time, before the coup. Since the time of the coup, aside from two mentions by Haiti solidarity activists, no English language newspaper in this country has reported on the Ottawa Initiative in Haiti. We have the internal documents about the meeting. There's public information. Activist solidarity groups have been talking about it for years repeatedly, but yet there's no mention in the corporate media that the Canadian government was involved in basically planning a coup that then happens, which becomes public even before it happens, and they just completely ignore
this, you know, public information. And I think this is just one example of serious complicity in the crime against Haitian people by the dominant media in this country, and just a subservience to power that is, this is quite remarkable. And, you know, this is one example. You go through the, you know, the history of Canadian foreign policy, and you find examples after example. Now, on the other hand, so that on one hand, that is the dominant media. But on the other hand, there are some elements of this, of you know, critical elements of Canadian foreign policy that do make it into the dominant media. But for the most part, it's disconnected from the a full kind of explanation of what's going on. There is very little commentary about you know, what's being discussed. So unless you're somebody who follows the news incredibly closely, unless you're very aware of what's going on in Haiti or some other part of the world, the context of what's being reported doesn't really give you much. So that's the, I think, the importance of the left-wing commentary that that you and many others are trying to create in terms of having a you know, media outlets that don't just you know, follow power, but are willing to, you know, critically examine what's out there in the public domain in terms of information about Canadian foreign policy.
And of course, this information is so critical because we make decisions as a, you know, politically as a country, either overtly or through, you know, not acting, action or inaction. We make our decisions based on our understanding of our reality. So if we're dealing with a fabricated reality, as you and other guests I've had today have mentioned, it really makes our political character, it's sick, you know, it really causes us an illness.
It's you cannot say that there's democracy in the realm of Canadian foreign policy when the vast majority of Canadians have very little understanding of what the Canadian government is doing and what is going on in international affairs. So there is an incredible democratic deficiency on that front, and on foreign affairs more so than other realms of social policy. The elite, the foreign affairs establishment, the dominant media set the agenda of what people think, because most Canadians have very little personal interaction with, you know, they've never been to Haiti. They don't, you know, sort of know the political and social dynamics there, or, you know, likewise for Afghanistan or Guatemala or whatever. So the ability of the politicians and the dominant media to distort what's happening is that much greater than on domestic policy. When, you know, on domestic policy, they clearly have, you know, pro-corporate bias, you know, something like the minimum wage. When there's talk about increasing the minimum wage in Manitoba or in Ontario, wherever, there's often a big pushback from the corporate community, and they basically say, oh, you know, the economy is going to go through the tank if we increase the minimum wage. But if you've worked in the minimum wage, if you have friends working the minimum wage, family members, if you have a certain association with the minimum wage, it doesn't seem so unreasonable to add another dollar to the minimum wage. So they can the dominant media can distort things. They can, you know, lie, if you like, on that issue. But you still have some grounding of what's going on. When it comes to foreign policy, where we're so disconnected from the issue, their ability to distort is that much greater. And so what you have a situation is the vast majority of Canadians, even though polls often suggest that the sort of inclination of the public is pretty good when it comes to foreign policy issues. They, you know, generally want Canada to be part of international climate negotiations, generally want you know, a Palestinian state as one example. I think generally want, you know, kind of positive humanistic policies to be pursued by the government. They have so little understanding what's going on that the government can basically pursue the policy it wants, and people are not able to really even understand that it's not the policy that should be pursued.
So what you're saying, and because we only got a couple of minutes left in our broadcast, but what you're saying essentially is that having an independent alternative community radio stations like CKW, we're essentially helping to bring some health to our healthy democracy, to the wider public, and a more socially just situation.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. It's incredibly important, I think, for, you know, on all social policy issues, but on foreign policy issues, it's that much more important, because
the subservience to power of the dominant media on foreign policy issues that much greater. And I would just say on specifically, you know, here in the 10th anniversary of the coup in Haiti, I can say that CKUW and many other independent radio stations and media outlets across the country were central to building and amplifying the work of the Canada Haiti Action Network and other Haiti solidarity activists, and I implore people to do what they can to support those efforts, because this is, you know, if the media is owned by rich people and dominated by corporate advertising, you're going to get a certain bias, you're going to get a certain perspective in the media. If the media is funded by hundreds and thousands of individual donors, I think you're going to have a much, much greater likelihood of getting information that you know serves to advance, a healthy, democratic debate. So it's incredibly important for people to do what they can to support these efforts.
Thank you very much for your time, Eve.
Thanks for having me.
So that was Eve Engler, who's the Canadian foreign policy analyst.
You've been listening to interviews with Julie Levesque, Mahdi Nazemroya, Richard Gage, Rocco Galati, and Eve Engler on the importance of supporting alternative media. These interviews were aired live February 14th, 2014, during the fundraising drive for Winnipeg radio station CKUW 95.9 FM. The music we heard included Air on a G-String by Johann Sebastian Bach, the song Dark Mirror from Clannad, and Please, Please, Please Let Me Get What I Want, as covered by Dream Academy. The program will be on hiatus over the summer months. You can find older versions of the show by clicking the tab for Global Research News Hour on the website globalresearch.ca. Thank you for listening and for supporting independent news and views. We leave you now with the song The War Is Over by legendary folk singer Phil Oakes. This is host and producer Michael Welch wishing you and yours a safe, peaceful, and prosperous summer season.
Silent soldiers on a silver screen, framed in fantasies and drugged in dreams, unpaid actors of the mystery. The mad director knows that freedom will not make you free. What's this got to do with me? Are almost never made, and they're afraid that I'm afraid. Just to blind the blind, poison players of a grisly game. One is guilty and the other gets to point the blame. Pardon me if I refrain. And join with pride. serve your country in her suicide. Find a flag so you can wave goodbye. But just before the end, even treason might be worth a try. This country is too young to die. And their whistling marches as they mow the lawn. And the gargoyles only sit and grieve. The gypsy fortune teller told me that we've been deceived.